Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Today's message is titled, Where is Your Heart? Where is your heart? Well, let's talk about heart for a minute. You know, we hear a lot about heart, and that term can be used in different ways. And first of all, looking it up in the dictionary, the first definition of heart is a hollow muscular organ of vertebrate animals that by its rhythmic contraction acts as a force pump maintaining the circulation of the blood. Another definition given in the dictionary, the heart, thought of as the place where emotions are felt. And you know, we recently celebrated Valentine's Day, and well, what's one of the most recognized symbols of Valentine's Day? A heart. And we also will say things like, I love you with all my heart. And a lot of times we will talk about people, and someone will say when they're involved in something, well, my heart's on the right side. Or my heart's in the right place. And I always kind of get a little bit of laugh out of that one because, you know, in some ways my heart's always on the right side. No matter what, it's on the right side. But then in some cases, it's on the wrong side because it's on the right side, you know. So these terms can sometimes get a little confusing maybe. But sometimes we also talk about things when we're doing something. And you ever do something you really didn't want to do? I think all of us have at one time or another. You go do something and you grumble a bit, little bit maybe and complain a little bit maybe. And you might say something, well, I just don't have the heart for it or my heart's not in it, you know. And sometimes I wonder about people today when it comes to church, is their heart really in it, you know? Are they really putting their effort into it? And the majority of times, actually, it seems that when we mention the word heart, we're not referring to that physical organ that beats in our chest, but we're referring to it in that sense of emotion, our feelings, or things of that nature, and how it affects us in those areas. Do you know that the word heart is mentioned in the King James Version 830 times? And out of those 830 times, I don't think there's one that refers to it as the physical organ. It's always talking about the emotion that is there and the things of that nature that are around it. In fact, the first mention of the word heart is in Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, which reads, "When the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and all the imaginations of the thoughts of his heart were only continually evil." Now just stop to think about that. Doesn't that really kind of put a very negative connotation onto the human race? When that far back in Scripture, now if I recall correctly, this is talking about at the Tower of Babel area here, because their wickedness and all of these things that are going on, or it might be at Noah, I'm not sure here, but don't remember. But irregardless, God has looked down and he says their imaginations, the thoughts of their heart were evil. And I guess this was at Noah. And a similar thing happens at the Tower of Babel when he looks down and he says their imaginations, it's going to get them into trouble. You know, the things that they come up with in their heart and the things that they think about. God's first reference to that is about the evilness that was in man's heart. Then he goes on to say, "Then it repented the Lord that he had made man in the earth, and he was sorry in his heart." Now, if we go by the dictionary definition of the word heart, this shows that God has emotion. And sometimes people think about God, they think he's someone that's distant. Oh, they will recognize him as the creator. They will recognize him as God, but he's somewhere, someplace that he's far removed from mankind, and he doesn't really care about what's going on with man. But it says it grieved God in his heart. God showed emotion there. It shows us there when God was grieved in his heart. Now the Hebrew word is lab, which is also translated as heart 508 times, mind 12 times, and understanding 10 times. And it's also figuratively widely used, as I said, for the feelings, the will, and even the intellect. Likewise, for the center of anything, according to Strong's Hebrew and Greek dictionary. And there are a number of other words that word lab can be translated as. The Greek word is cardia, from which we get the word cardiac, which refers to heart. Well, the Bible goes on to tell us in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, God speaking here to Moses, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." What's he saying here? He's not saying just that physical organ there. That physical organ that pumps the blood, it in itself has no emotion. It in itself has no will. It in itself doesn't have these things. It is referring to the intellect here. It's referring to the emotions here. You are to love him with all your being. Give him everything you've got, basically. Love him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, everything you've got in you. This is all the way back when Moses and the children of Israel are on their way to the promised land, that God tells them this, that you are to love God with everything you've got. Now, God has told them this, and yet we look back, and most of us here are familiar with the fact that these people, even though God had told them this, what did they do? They messed around a lot. They went after a golden calf. They did this. They did that. They got themselves into all kinds of trouble. Why? Because they did not love God with all their heart. You want to stay out of trouble? You want things to be the best for you? You've got to love God with all your heart, with all your might, with everything you've got in you. And when you love God with all your heart, God's going to take care of you. That's his promise to us. He'll take care of us. Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus then speaking says, "Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might," or all thy mind. You are to love him with everything that is in your being. Jesus is actually repeating what was all the way back here in Deuteronomy. Jesus goes on to say in Matthew chapter 22, verse 38, that this is the first and the great commandment. If you obey this commandment, thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, with everything that's in you, you don't have to worry about the rest of those commandments out there, because it'll all take care of itself. When you love God with all your heart, you won't go around breaking the other commandments. It's just as simple as that. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you give your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable serving of God." Give yourselves a living sacrifice. Give your life completely over to God. Give him everything that's within your being to give him. That's what he's saying here. We are to do that. Give God our all. Give him everything. But quite honestly, the question we could ask here is, are we putting our heart into serving God? Are we putting our heart into serving God? And I look around at the church world today, and we see that a lot of efforts go into a lot of things. I've told you this before, and I'll kind of repeat it again. I remember, and most of you here would recognize the name Charles Schulz, who was the creator of the comic strip Peanuts. But before he ever created that comic strip, he had drawn some cartoon books. And I bought one of them back in 1960. And these were about teenagers in church. And the one cartoon that has stuck with me all these 50-plus years, the one cartoon in there is the young man who's showing to another young man. He's got this leather jacket on, and he's got all these pins. And some of you may remember back in church, and I don't know, some churches may still do it. If you went to Sunday school and you didn't miss a Sunday for a year, you got a perfect attendance pin. And if you did this, you got a pin for that and a pin for that, and you know, all kinds of pins. And he's showing this other young man his jacket, and it's just covered with all these pins. And he's telling him what all these pins are for. And he says, I've been so busy getting all these pins, I haven't had time to go to church. And sometimes I think that's where the church world is at today. We have become an everything, and it's great to do good works. It's great to reach out to the community. I wish our church could do it. And it's great to do a lot of the things that are being done as far as helping other people. I think God tells us that we're to help our neighbor and these things. But sometimes the whole effort and the whole energy of these things go into not serving God, but what we can do for somebody else, and God gets left out of the picture. And we find a lot of people that are running around today doing good, and they think they're on the way to heaven because they're doing good, but they never darken the door of the church because they're too busy doing other things. God says we are to love Him first and foremost with all of our heart. And if we love God with all of our heart, I guarantee you these other things will take care of themselves. God will see that somehow they get done. But we are to love Him with all of our heart. I remember a man that owned an employment agency that I used to go to back when I was young to try to get a job and or to look for a job. And he was a good man. Did a lot of good things. And he was thoroughly convinced that that's all he had to do. As long as he did good works, he was on his way to heaven. He never went to the church. As far as I know, he never did ever go to church. But he was into doing good works and good things. But good works, good deeds will not get us there. The Bible simply tells us that the only way we get to heaven is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary and serving God. And when we serve God, then the Bible tells us we are to serve Him with all of our heart. It's simple as that. You accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and you serve God with all your heart. That's how you get there. Are we putting our hearts into serving God? When our heart is into doing something, we will put above and beyond into what we're doing. Don't you find that true? No matter what it is, if your heart is really into it, if your emotion is really into it, if your will is really into it, if your being is really into it, you're going to put everything you've got into it. Whether it's your job, whether it's some kind of a project that you're working on, maybe it's some kind of good deed, but whatever it is, you will go above and beyond when your heart is really in it. Now, let's look at the same thing, and suddenly your heart's not in it anymore. And what happens? You find yourself generally starting to slack off. Well, we can let this go. don't have to do quite as much. Is that the way we look at it in church today? Is our heart really into church? Is our heart really into serving God? Or is it in just for the show? Do we give it our all? Jesus gave his all. Think about it. Jesus gave his all. Let's think a minute. Jesus Christ. I was reading an article the other day, and it was, what was Jesus' last name? And of course, a lot of people think that Jesus' last name was Christ, simply because we refer to him as Jesus Christ, Christ being the Greek word for the anointed one. If you were doing it in Hebrew, it'd be Jesus Mashiach, I believe is how it's pronounced, and the Messiah. But the people of that day probably may have known him as, and I'll use the English words, Jesus Ben, or son of Joseph, because they naturally assumed he was the son of Joseph. But actually, he was Jesus Ben Yahweh, or son of God. He was the son of God. He was born into human flesh. He grew up like other people grow up. Went to school. Went to learn things at the temple. Was bar mitzvahed, I'm sure. Went through all the things that any other Jewish boy of his day would have gone through. And the Bible tells us that he was putting his all into it then, because it says when he was 12 years old, he got separated from the rest of the family. They kind of weren't paying attention, and they left to go back home, and he was still in the temple. And it says that when they came back and they found him in the temple, what was he doing? He was teaching the scribes. He was teaching the Pharisees. He was teaching the doctors of law. And it says that they were astounded at his knowledge. And you might say, oh, well, yeah, but this is Jesus, the Son of God. And he knew all these things. But we go back and we find he had to study just like everybody else did. How could he feel our feelings? How could he know our emotions if he didn't experience them? He's going through these things, but he's putting his all into it. Bible tells us then at the age of 30, he began his public ministry. There were people that mocked him. There were people that scoffed at him. There were people that, I'm sure for most of us anyway, probably would have hurt our feelings anyway, and things that they said to him. We know that on the Sunday, which we refer to now as Palm Sunday, when he rode into Jerusalem and the people cheered and they worshiped and all of this stuff, because they were expecting him sometime that week to announce that he was now the king of the Jews and he had come to run the Romans out of town. That's what they were looking forward to. But that wasn't the plan of God for that time. But Jesus put his all into it as he went through that week, knowing that the next weekend, or by the next weekend, he would be crucified on a cross. He would then give his life, that he would be the sacrifice for our sins. He had all of that knowledge, and he put his all into it. Can you imagine as he was beaten mercilessly? He was beaten within the limits of the law of that day, which was they were only to whip them so many times, because beyond that it would kill them. in most cases. So they didn't want to, you know, can't kill him this way. We got to do this, then we're going to go hang him on a cross, you know. You think about that. That's pretty horrible to think about, that this is what's going to happen. But his all is still in it. He's there hanging on the cross. And his all is still in it. One of those hanging on one side of him mocks him and says, if you're the Son of God, why don't you come down off that cross? Save yourself and save us too. And the other one says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus is giving his all. The Bible tells us it's his last moments there. His final words, or some of his final words, were, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's putting his all into it. And sometimes we as Christians today, we can't take it because somebody might make a little bit of fun of us because of our Christian beliefs. Or mock us because we're a Christian. Are we conceal certain things about our beliefs because we don't want people to know necessarily that we're Christians because they might make fun of us. We need to give God our all. And when we give God our all, I am thoroughly 100% convinced that God will take care of us no matter what comes our way. And I know in some Christians' cases who've given their all and they've stood for the gospel of Jesus Christ and stood for what was right, and they have given their all and their life has been taken from them. God still took care of them because they're now in a better place than they've ever been before. And you know what? I was reminded of this the other day as I was listening to a ministry tape from somebody else. The Bible says that the people who do that, they got a special reward waiting for them in heaven. We like to think, do you ever stop to think about what your reward's going to be as a Christian when you get to heaven? And I know some people will all just be happy to have made it through the gate, even if by the skin of my teeth, you know. Well, first of all, your teeth don't have any skin, so you're already in trouble. You know, but if what's it going to be like if that's the way you make it when you get there and you're seeing these other people get rewards and you're left out? I'm not so much worried about what kind of reward I'm going to get. I want to be there, first of all. That's reward. But I don't want to make it by the skin of my teeth. I want somewhere there be something said that I did something for Jesus Christ, that I did the best I could. And I realize, and God realizes, that we're each one a different type of person. We're different personalities, we're different this, and we're different that. We're different in all kinds of ways. Every one of us seated here today is different. And we will approach things differently, and we will do things differently. But God works with what He has to work with. And when we put our life into it and our being into it, God will use us to accomplish something. And one of you here may be able to reach somebody that the rest of us, they'd never even think about listening to us about it. Being used of God, giving Him our all, being willing to do what God speaks to us to do. Give Him our all. Is it easy? Well, obviously, if we go back and look at the example of Jesus, it's not easy. It's not a piece of cake. It's tough sometimes. But we need to give our all. We need to put our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, all of our being into serving God, even though it's sometimes hard to do. Sometimes it's hard to get up in the morning and go to church. Sometimes it's hard to do something that you really don't want to do, but God speaks to your heart to do it. Ever have that happen? God speaks to your heart to do something, and you say, oh, Lord, let's think about this. We pull a Moses. When Moses said at the burning bush, God, I'm not good at this now. I think you better find somebody else. But if you go back and you examine the life of Moses prior to the time he had to flee Egypt for his life, he was the best fit person on the face of the planet at that time for God to use. God had him set out from the beginning when he was born and put in that little basket of bulrush out in the bulrushes. God was preparing him for that day. And God prepares us for the day that he has for us. Think about it now. Moses was 40 years of age approximately when he had to flee Egypt, when it first became apparent that there was something different about his life to him. And he was 80 years of age when he marched back into Pharaoh and said, let my people go. God uses people of all ages. He uses people from all places, all types of personalities. God can use you if you will give him your all. So the question is, where is your heart? Father, today I just pray that you would use these words to touch someone somewhere, Father, wherever it may be. And Father, speak to them concerning, Father, their giving their all to Jesus Christ and to serving you. Father, help each one of us that's here to consecrate our lives, Father, to giving our all. Father, that word, your word says that's our reasonable service, to give you our all. That's what you want from us. And Father, if we do that, you take care of us. I know that. I thank you for what you're going to do. I thank you for lives that you're going to touch. I thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's just
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.